lead us in prayer, please, sir.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this morning. And thank you for this opportunity to be in your house here and worship you in spirit and truth here this morning. Father, we pray that you are pleased with our worship of you.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy towards us each and every day.
Yes.
We thank you that your mercy is our good every day, every morning, Father. And we just thank you for that.
Yes.
Father, this morning as we look into your word, I just ask that you speak to our hearts. And draw us nigh to you, and Father, conform us more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Equip us to spread the gospel as we leave here, Father. We just think of those this morning that aren't able to be here because of sickness, because of their health, Father, that you would encourage them.
Yes.
Father, as they're at home right now, that you would bless their day, that you'd give them the strength and health that they need. Father, we think of those that are traveling this week or today, that you just give them safety along the way. Think of Pastor Jeremy this morning and his family, and just ask that you bless their day, use them mightily in your service today, Father. We thank you for our widows, and we think of them this morning. We want to bring them before you. Just ask that, Father, that you encourage them, that you give them peace, Father, the peace that passeth all understanding, that you protect them. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house. I just pray that you help each one of us to learn today. I pray that you give us open ears and open hearts, Father, this morning toward your word. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Let's see. Brother Lucas, would you mind running the scripture computer there this morning, please, sir? Luke chapter 18. You know, last week as we talked about the days of Lot, in the days of Lot, we often think of just the aspect of the sodomy and what the sinners are doing and how bad it's going to be and how bad it is right now. But it just really spoke to my heart last week as I thought about Lot, the days of Lot, where his own sons-in-law mocked him when he went out to speak to them, to warn them about judgment to come. And so it really spoke to my heart about the aspect about what about us as believers? The days of Lot, well, in regard to Sodom, there were no believers there that were actively trying to point people to Jesus Christ. And so there wasn't even 10 righteous there in the city. And it just, you know, for us as Christians, it's just real easy to think about, well, the lost, and they're just getting so bad. But where do we fit into the picture? And so in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And how many times as Christians do we feel almost faint? Or maybe we do feel faint. We think about what's happening in our country just in the last few months, how many decisions have been made just in the last few months that are very anti-biblical, anti-God, and we know the end of the story there. Judgment will fall. And are we, as it were, getting faint, just thinking, well, here it comes. Judgment is going to fall. Well, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So how much are we praying in these days? Versus how much are we maybe just sharing our discouragement or concerns about what's going on? So the Lord gives us an example here in verse 2, saying, "There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not, for what? For a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man." Well, isn't that about like many of the judges today, many of the leaders today? "Fear not God, nor regard man. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her what?
Continual coming.
She weary me." Well, are we continually coming before the Lord? Well, he never gets weary of our coming to him. Hold your place here if you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, most everyone else in this world will reach a point where they do not want to listen to us if we keep coming. If we keep coming and coming and coming, they'll reach a point where they will not want to see us coming. But thankfully, the Lord never reaches that point. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting what? All your care upon him, for he what? Careth for you. Well, there will be no one else in the world, maybe except the closest one, the dearest one to your heart, who will even come close to that. But even then, it might be that we could weary even the person closest to us. And would we have this kind of concern for others? How often would someone have to come to us, even our most beloved, before we in the flesh would say, I'm tired. I don't want to hear about any more problems. But God says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I remember Brother Stevens when he was in Taiwan. He had to come back because of physical needs. But when he came back the first time, he said, I learned something when I went to Taiwan. Americans do not know how to listen. And it's so true, isn't it? When someone else is talking, so often we're thinking about, well, as soon as there's a pause, I'm going to get this in. Or you're thinking about, okay, when they pause, is there going to be silence? Should I say something? Should I wait for them to say something more? We don't know much about how to listen, but God cares about us, so he does listen. Notice also in Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, we talk about following in Christ's steps. He left us an example. But Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, be careful for what?
Nothing.
For nothing. In other words, nothing is too small. But in what?
Everything.
Everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Isn't that amazing? The Lord says everything. The Lord didn't say, listen, you can call upon me. You can pray, but it has to be at a certain level of importance. We had a car parked in the lot here a few weeks ago, and yeah, there were some young fellows that came along one day, and they were having car trouble, and they said it was just a battery. And so they wanted to know if they could leave it overnight in the parking lot. And I said, sure, that's fine. Gave me an opportunity to give them gospel tracts and talk to them. And so it went on all week. They were here at times working on it and then gone. They never said anything more to me. I was here at times. And finally it came Friday night, and there was like trenches being dug in the parking lot where I think what happened is that they would work on it, get mad because they couldn't get it running, and then they would just kind of burn out, you know, tear out of the driveway and leave their trenches. And so I watched the trenches grow from day to day in the week. And so Friday night, I finally called the police and told them the situation, said, you know, if you could just find out whose it is and just ask them to have it gone by noon tomorrow, you know, for church on Sunday and so on. And so so I called 911, and the dispatcher listened to me and then said, well, you need to hang up and call this number. This is a non-emergency number. And so I said, okay. So I learned that it was not important enough to call 911 when there's a car in your parking lot. It was interesting, though, when we first started doing the park preaching downtown, that people were calling 911 on a church group, us. We were preaching the gospel and singing hymns. And evidently, that was important enough to call 911, and the police would respond. It just shows us, doesn't it, in our country, just kind of how mixed up that we are. But aren't you thankful that God, that you don't come to God with something and he says, wait a minute, stop. You've called the wrong number. Your request isn't important enough to me. You're going to have to pass that along and hold your place here again if you have any things to hold your places. And turn me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 14. Hebrews 1:14. Actually, it's backed up to 13 there. Hebrews 1:13, but to which of the what? The angels. Hebrews 1:13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all what?
Ministering spirits.
Minister means serve. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are what? Heirs of salvation. So God has angels to minister to us, to help us. So aren't you glad that when you pray that God doesn't divert your prayer and say, wait a minute. I can't tend all your little problems. You've got to call another number. You've got to call Michael or Gabriel or one of the other angels. We're never told to pray to angels. God never diverts any requests. I'll let so-and-so handle that one. You got to talk to them personally. God doesn't do that. So back in Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And how often do we do that? We're going to, in the next service, we're going to talk a little bit about how thankful are we, really? How many times do we go back and thank God for things? So many times we don't as often as we should. And that's what has really helped me in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. What has really helped me to, in everything, give thanks is to practice these verses in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with what?
All thine heart.
All thine heart. And lean not unto what?
Thine own understanding.
And if you couple that with back in Philippians chapter 7 and with being careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if you couple that with here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's when we get troubled. Is when we're trying to figure it out ourselves. Verse 6 of Proverbs 3:6. In what?
All
thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what?
Direct thy paths.
We really have to train ourselves to do that, though, don't we? Because the task that we think we can handle, we tend not to ask God for help. You ladies, how often do you ask God to help you with the laundry? Probably not, unless something is really soiled bad and it was somebody's nice shirt or dress or something. And then you're praying, Lord, please help me. The task of you guys, when you change the oil in the car, do you ask God, Lord, please help me now as I change the oil in the car? The tendency is to think, I've done this how many times? That is why, when we have a great need, we bring it before the Lord. But when we think we can handle it ourselves, we don't. And I think you'll find the same as I think in my life. It's normally not the large things that go wrong in a day that ruin a day or spoil a day. It's the little thing. It's the foxes that spoil the vines. It's those little things that don't go right. But did we ask? Did we, verse 6, in all of our ways acknowledge him? Did we ask for him to direct our paths? There are things that can go wrong when you change the oil in a car. My grandfather had his oil changed. He didn't do it himself, but he took it to a car dealership, and they had a young man change the oil in his engine. And the young man, I guess, wasn't really trained too well because he filled the engine full of transmission fluid instead of car oil, and it ruined the engine. So there are things. You can round off a bolt. You can strip the threads on the oil pan, the nut there that you drain the oil. There's all kinds of things. You might not be able to get the oil filter off. I'm sorry, ladies, I'm probably boring you with this, but oil filters don't always come off too easy. I've literally destroyed oil filters sometimes just trying to get them off. They're just made out of thin steel, and you have to get a big pair of pliers on them or something, and they just crinkle, and sometimes they still don't come off. So there's so much we take for granted. The point is this. Okay, you ladies, you do the laundry. How many times when the laundry cycle gets through and you're ready to put it in the dryer or hang it on the line, how many times have you thanked God as you finish doing, as the cycle ends? How many times us guys, how many times when we change the oil, how many times we stop and say, thank you, Lord? So many things. I don't want to say too much because then the message coming, I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but we take so much for granted. And we're just like, really, we're more like the 9 lepers than we are the one who came back to thank the Lord. You know, sometimes if there's a testimony time or something is opened up, and what are you thankful for? Especially this happens at Thanksgiving. And then it's like people rack their minds. Okay, what good happened? And I mean, you're thinking, boy, I just can't think of anything. Wow, we have food, clothes, cars, able to come to church. Health, we can't think of any good thing. Our families, there's so much. So, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And if we do that, turn to me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What I found in my life is it helps me to be thankful. It helps me to be thanking the Lord all day long. You know, the Lord has a good reminder for me shortly after I leave the house about this here. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In what? Everything give what? Thanks. Do we do that? I think the reason we do not do that, or when we do not do that, is because we weren't doing the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We were not acknowledging the Lord. We were not asking for his help. So when we accomplished a task, we didn't thank him because we were not really looking to him. So in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Isn't one of the most important things in our lives that we want to be in God's will? Yes. Well, this is one of them right here. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's the matter of prayer. We can go back to Luke chapter 18 there. So are we faint? Our country is headed down fast. So many decisions are being made right now that are against what God teaches in his word. We're back to supporting abortion financially around the world. We're back to promoting sodomy. There are just so many issues that just grieve our hearts. So have we fainted? The days of Lot, the days of Noah, are going to be like the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It's so easy for us just to say, yeah, the wicked are sure getting wicked. But really what God wants us to do, and what is really the pivotal point of our nation, is not us blaming the lost for the state of our country. What is it? It's us. So in Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Are we fainting? Are we just saying, well, the wicked are in power, and they're just being as vile and wicked as ever, and there's nothing I can do. How many times have you said it, and how many times have I said it? I wish there was something I could do to help you. But I'll pray. Isn't that or a similar statement what we make at times? Wish I could do something to help you. But I don't know what to do. I'll pray, as if that's nothing. So are we fainting? But the future of our nation is not dependent upon the lost. It's dependent upon us. Hold your place here, if you would, in 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7. The bottom line is, we are so much like Adam and Eve, not in their perfected state, their original sinless state, but in their fallen state. Because in their fallen state, what was the first thing that they did? Blame somebody else. Adam blamed his wife. His wife blamed the serpent. We are so much like that. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If who?
My people,
which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what?
Pray.
Have we given up? Have we fainted? Have we said, it's no use? There's no use praying for our nation. We're just too far gone. We're just stuck for 2 years or 4 years. There's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. Have we fainted? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what?
Turn
from their wicked ways. Here, once again, we so often look at the lost saying, oh, yes, they are so wicked. I mean, got all these people rioting. They're burning down cities. They're killing police officers. They're just so wicked. These big tech companies are censoring any conservative or godly speech, communication. What hope is there? I mean, it's like we're being swallowed up with evil. No, God wants us to turn from our wicked ways. It's my people which are called by my name. If we are the ones that seek his face, if we are the ones that turn from their wicked ways. You know, in our hearts, really, the more spiritual we truly are, the more we will see ourselves as exceeding sinners. We will see ourselves as coming so far short of the glory of God. Because the closer we get to him, the more we see our own faults and failures. This morning I was on my computer. It looked fine until the sun came up. And as the sun came up and started showing through my window, my monitor was on just the right angle where suddenly it was getting hard to see my monitor, not because of reflection, because of something else. Can anyone guess what it was? Pardon? Dust. Who said that? You win the prize. I don't have a prize, but you win it. You get to do dishes today for your wife. How's that? Amen. Okay. Dust. That monitor looked fine until the light of the sun came up and shone on that. And it was annoying. I couldn't hardly see the screen. I know I should dust my monitor more, right? Okay, so you know what I did? I didn't get up and get my wife's special dust mitt, which I should have done. You know what I did? Guess. I turned the monitor. There you go. You guys are smart. Okay, I turned the monitor to get it out of the reflection of the sun. But you know what happened? The sun doesn't go straight over our house. It's on an angle. And guess what happened 5 or 10 minutes later? The same annoying thing happened. It was at the right spot where it was showing all that dust, and I couldn't hardly see through it. So guess what I did? I turned the monitor again. Right. I didn't deal with the dust. I just nudged the monitor a little farther so I could see again. Guess what happened about 5 or 10 minutes later? Same thing. That's right. The same thing. Three times. Guess what I did that time? I pulled the shade. That would have been smart, wouldn't it, brother? In my spiritual state, I nudged the monitor again. Just tried to turn it again. I didn't deal with the dust. That is so much like us in our lives. Because as Christians, we just don't look at faults and failures and sin in our lives with the necessity, look at it with from an importance of just dealing with it. We just so often want to nudge that thing a little more instead of dealing with it. You know, it would have saved some frustration if I just would have gotten up. I knew what to do with it. The special dust mitt, you know, the dust magnet. I should have just cleaned it off, and that would have been over. But it just makes me think, how many times do we as Christians, as we read the Word of God, we see our own faults and failures. Notice in James chapter 4, and verse 17, James 4:17. This says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do what? To do good, and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. So there's that dust that comes up in our lives. It's I see somebody with a need. I have the means to meet that need, but I just think, no, that's just kind of a nuisance. I don't have time, or I don't have the desire right now, or it's more like, well, I'm looking at the dust in their lives. And so I'm thinking, no, I don't have to. I know there's a need, but I see the specks in their lives, so I'm just not going to help. I don't feel called to help. So we just kind of tilt the monitor and say, I don't want to keep thinking about that. So we tilt it, and we can see more clearly because the light is not shining on it. So, you know, truly, the closer we get to God, just the more it amazes me, the Apostle Paul, when he says, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith. And he talks about a crown being laid up for him. I was just thinking on the way to church this morning, I was going to drop off the DVDs to the hospital there for their service today. And I was just thinking about that, a crown. Have you ever stopped just to think about that? I mean, really, really what we deserve is hellfire, isn't it, for our sin? We deserve hellfire. That's what we deserve. But a crown. You think of all in our lives. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when we stop to really think about everything that we have done is going to be judged according to our motives. Did we do it in spirit and in truth, or did we just do it because someone asked us to do it? Or maybe because someone was angry with us because we didn't do it, so we're just doing it maybe to appease someone, maybe doing it, but our hearts are really not in it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That word manifest, that's like the sun. Something that's manifest shines forth. Well, our work in this day, the judgment seat of Christ, is going to be made manifest. When the light of Christ comes upon our works and when he puts it through the fire, all the dust is going to be seen. The things that we pretended not to see or ignored, or God kept showing us something in our lives, God kept nudging us. Every time we'd open the Word of God, or maybe not every time, but sometimes we'd open the Word of God and the light would shine upon it. And there would be those fleeting thoughts about something we need to tend to in our lives that doesn't please God. And all we did is nudge the monitor. I don't want to see that. So we didn't stop there and ponder it. But every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what amount it is. What does it say? Sort. Of what sort it is. What do you do, ladies, when you buy eggs? Do you just grab them and throw them in the cart? Well, do you grab them and set them in the cart? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but many people open it up and see if there's any broken eggs. That's what I do. When we get eggs, I always open it up because sometimes there are broken eggs. So God's going to put our works, not us through the fire, but our works through the fire to see of what sort it is. And in that day, it doesn't matter if you have a whole semi-truck load of good works. We can have a whole pile of good works, but if we did it with the wrong motive, if we did those things while we were murmuring and grumbling and complaining that, you know, someone else didn't do it or someone else didn't help, you know, kind of like Martha and Mary, you know, she's the one that invited Jesus to come and eat, but then she's grumbling because Mary won't get up and help her. You know, our lives are kind of like a lifelong of school. How many of you would just really love to be in school your whole life? No one. How many of you would like to be able to go through training with no test? Yeah. But you know, life is kind of like that, in a way. We are going through this whole life, and God doesn't give us a quiz every day. God doesn't even give us a quiz every week. God doesn't give us a test every month or every semester. We have one true test coming. It's the judgment seat of Christ. We don't really think about that, do we? And so, really, we need to be in the manual, don't we? Because there is a test coming. And so, wow. You know, when you get behind a week, a month, a whole semester, years, how many years are we behind on this right here, making sure we have the right heart motive with everything that we do? I've just really been trying the last month. God speaks to my heart about certain things, and so I just try to meditate on that for weeks and months. And the one thing is just, okay, if there was this need, and if it was Jesus who had that need, would I just walk by? Would I just leave it on the floor? Would I leave that undone? And you know, it's a funny thing. When I just automatically think, well, if that was Jesus' need, what would I do? I'd just immediately do it. And that's the way we need to go through life, because this test is coming. Verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Well, we don't want all of the energy and work of our life to be burned up, to go up in smoke, to end up in ashes. So may the Lord help us. We're living in some trying times, but our focus, our main focus, should not be on the wicked. It should be on, Lord, what are you trying to purify in my life? And I'll guarantee you, if we let the light of God shine upon us. It's going to be just like my monitor this morning. We're going to see all the dust, all the specks in our lives. And may God help us to deal with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we could spend around your word. Lord, we know these are trying times and in many ways discouraging times in the flesh. But Father, I pray that you would help us. These can also be times of great opportunity as things get darker if we will allow you to shine your light upon our lives and if we will deal with sin. As you said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I pray, Father, that you would help us to search our hearts and to ask you to search our hearts. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Sorry about 6 minutes.